Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Yo, groomers! Yo, Susie, what's up? Hi, Barbara. Hi, groomers. What's crack-a-lackin'? Welcome to episode 210 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 2nd, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona, just after the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution, and Stazco. This week, we're going to talk about difficult bosses, chitosan, and water temperature effects. Barbara, I have been having such success with my sitting down and grooming.
Ah, yes.
Yes, I think all of it is due, well, partially due to your encouragement in just really going for it and accepting the fact that it's a good idea. And the other big part of it, though, is my special little chair that I got on Amazon, my stool. It is so multi-purposed. It goes way down so I can get, when I dry, I go way down and I can get underneath even the smallest dog. And it goes way up, so well past where my knees will fit underneath my table anymore. And I can totter up that way. But even more important, Barbara, it is really, really, really good practice for my next theme park event, because it's like having the teacup ride right in my own trailer. I can spin around for hours and then I can spin the other direction. And if I'm tilted the right direction, I'll automatically spin anyway. I just kind of turn that way. I've got a roller coaster event coming up and it's perfect practice. I am going to go to Magic Mountain and I'm going to ride Twisted Colossus for an hour and a half with only 80 people riding the ride and scream. Boy, I'm excited. I'm so excited. And this is just going to get me all conditioned for all those spins and turns and twists.
You are so funny. You are so freaking funny. I have been sitting down to groom for over a decade and I have never twirled around in my...
Well, you know, I've been a twirler since I was a little girl. When I was tiny, my mother would make me frilly skirts and I would spin and spin and spin. I didn't realize that just meant I was an addict and alcoholic. But, you know, you figure this stuff out later on. And I still love to spin in chairs. And my stool is really good. Not only is it good at that, but that whole being able to go way up and way down that range, it is really a nice stool. Now, I have to tighten up the screws underneath the seat because it was only like $59 or something like that. But I might put the link up on our Facebook page, you know, like I have the headphones. I might put the link up to this stool because it really is an exceptionally good stool for as cheap as it was. Okay. So it just makes grooming so much more fun. As I was sitting there, though, drying the dog, I felt a little like I was not working out enough. I'm so used to standing and moving, but my feet are so thankful. So you guys, don't fight the sitting down. Learn to sit down. It's really helpful. But I still have slight issues with some of my scissors being a little bit high. I need to move the rack down to adjust for that. Yeah. And I also find that some of my bigger dogs, I am still more comfortable standing up to do certain parts of them, which, like you said, I think is a good thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's up and down. A balance between sitting and standing is ideal for your back. See, as you've been learning and been making yourself sit down, I've been making myself stand up at my table. And it's good, especially for getting over the top line and, you know, certain things that are easier when you're standing up. You want to hear about my week?
Okay.
I had two interesting things. One was a real challenge. Oh. And the other was a real affirmation. So which one do you want to hear first? The challenge?
Yes, challenge first.
Okay, so Maurice's little Bichon that came to me as a result of seeing my grooming on another Bichon,
curly. And she had previously mostly just kind of whacked at him herself. And then she saw Curly, and that was the first Bichon out of a pet shop that she saw that she really liked. And Curly had a little modified Bichon type haircut, easy thing. So I've groomed Maurice a couple of times. She's very pleased. They had, excuse me, to France for the summer. Excuse me, but Maurice is ready for France.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. She wanted me to do a little bit shorter. And I chose to do, I said, look at if we want to change the head, let me do this kind of Asian style on him. So I did the Korean teddy bear head on him and scissored him up good and shortened him some and all of that. Sent him home. Well, she got back to me. She said the head looked funny and the grooming wasn't holding up. And besides that, he needed another bath before they go to France. So I scheduled him to come in on Saturday, and then I listened to her for a half an hour go on and on about what she wanted me to do, and I determined that I would, like, shorten the head, take off a bunch of the back of the neck, give him poodle feet, because although they love the teddy bear feet, he's getting stickers in his feet. And I said, I just went straight for the fix it. I'll fix that. I'll give him fucking poodle feet. I didn't say fucking. I said, we'll give him poodle feet. Well, and she said, well, what's that? I said, that's when we shave the whole foot backwards and even the toes and all that. And it just really helps the problem with stickers. So, boy, he looks so cute with his little poodle feet. I can remember in the days where that would have made me, like, nauseous to see poodle feet on a beach show.
Where were your hackles at this point? Because this is a good customer service kind of a moment.
Well, this is a good customer service type of a moment, and that's why I brought it up. But you see, it doesn't matter what my inner conversation was. My outer conversation was paying attention to what she was saying, repeating after her to show her that I got it and making me sure that I got it. And problem solving. And I just said, okay, I get it. We need to put problem solving ahead of styling right now. And she said, right, he's got to last 4 months and we'll be back and we can be shown him up again when we get back. And I said, excellent. We got on the same. I mean, I was very accommodating. Also, Susie, I did not charge for the appointment.
I wouldn't either in that case, probably.
I didn't charge for the appointment, even though I did additional things such as a new bath and poodle feet. I felt that the customer relations value of not charging far exceeded the $65, far exceeded.
Especially with a little bit of an experimental haircut on the part of the client. Yeah.
And I did it not in my usual hysterical way. I didn't get hysterical about it. Well, I just won't fucking charge you then. Just take your I didn't do that. I just said by text, and there will be no charge today. You know, and so I did it very calmly. I didn't have to get emotionally into that. Well, if my work isn't good enough, then I won't charge you. I didn't do any of that crap. I just determined that it was a good customer relations to let this one go. Just let it go. Let it go. It's just one dog and this one's on me. And I said, she said, well, what are you? You're not charged. I said, no. I said, if I didn't get it right for you, for your trip to France, I want a chance to make it up, make it right. And it's all in the same price. This is still, you're still on that other $65. Don't worry about it at all. And then she put some cash in the tip jar. You know, she said, well, am I allowed to tip in this manner? I said, well, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so good, you know, so whatever. Anyway, that was that. And I was just really proud of that.
This is really a great way. And that's exactly why I asked you about your hackles, because I know sometimes that inner conversation gets very defensive at a moment when they're challenging your grooming. I'm really glad that I would have done exactly what you did, which would have been not charged for that groom and make it right. And because it is still that last groom.
And I, you know, like I didn't get, I just handled it in a way that I just thoroughly interacted with her about what she wanted. I didn't try to overly detail her.
Right.
We just got it, you know, and then the two of us, we summarized what I was going to do.
And how did she react to the poodle feet and all that?
She loved the poodle feet. She said that the head had a flat spot in it, and yeah, I think it did. I just really was careful at taking the top of the head down, and I scissor finished it off real good so that it had a really perfect finish. I scissored it about 10 minutes worth, and you know, I just took care. I was very careful in what I did. I gave it my full attention, and he came out looking cute. It's still kind of the Korean teddy bear, but just a shorter version than what I first came out with, and everybody was happy. So then I want to tell you about my other very, oh man, this was so cool. I had a customer call and, do you hand strip terriers? Yes. I have a wire fox terrier and I'm here for 4 or 5 months and I desperately need to find somebody that will maintain her coat. And we've been rolling the coat and doing it every 2 or 3 weeks. And she's short, but she's still starting to suffer from Tucson. And I'm going away for a while and won't be able to work with the coat. So I thought, well, this is interesting. Here for the first time ever, I hand stripped dog where they're actually working the coat very regularly.
Did she use the term rolling the coat?
Yep.
Boy, that's a huge sign. Instantly, you're in. Yeah. Whatever it is you want, I'm taking it on.
Yeah, no. And she had just found me on the internet.
Wow.
But she was kind of desperate because she had a heck of a time finding someone in upstate New York who would do it. You know, an awful lot of groomers aren't doing this. Well, this wire fox terrier came in. Her name was Lucy. She was small. She was really well bred. And her little head was already done pretty perfectly. So that was a good lesson for me. And I worked the coat and I did everything, and I worked the head, trimmed up the lines,
right,
like I love to do. And she picked the dog up and she said, oh, Barbara, he's never looked this good.
Oh, that is affirming. That is so wonderful.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm crying because it's emotional for me to get that kind of praise, to know that she's working with her breeder, who surely knows all of the details of her groom. And for me to have made that noticeable a difference. And you know what? The dog has a skin problem, very interesting skin problem that we're going to want to follow.
Oh, cool.
It gets super greasy after hand stripping.
So, wow. Are you going to research that?
It seems to be a breed specific problem.
Okay.
But what I did is that I used a benzoyl peroxide and salicylic acid shampoo, which I've had great success with on greasy coats of the past. And then we
name
benzoyl SS.
Okay.
Decra makes it. DECHRA. Decra benzol benz. Just look under BENZ and you'll find it. So the benzoyl peroxide, just to remind everybody, flushes the hair follicle. So it's not only a degreaser, but it's actually known to really deeply degrease the hair follicle. And some of these dogs that are overproducing, their hair follicles are just stuffed. Now, normally you would expect the hand stripping would kind of allow for clarifying of all of that.
Yeah.
But in her case, it seems to stimulate the overproduction of sebum. So I sent the bottle home. But the other thing that we did, bath bomb.
Ah.
We did the bath bomb as a rinse instead of a conditioner.
I love that.
And she loved the texture of her dog's coat. Oh, and she said that it was the whitest that she's ever looked. And she's so just all of these little things that have to do with what Yvonne and I do, you know, and here in one package, it just made a clear difference. And I was just so, I was so proud. I was so thrilled. So we sent the bottle of shampoo home with instructions that if she greased up, the husband is going to be taking care of the dog. He should give her a shampoo of this stuff. And it might take two or three shampoos to really show the best effect.
Now, is this dog already pre-booked for every 3 weeks to keep you rolling the coat? Or is he going to try to do some of it?
No, because I have to charge her $100.
Sure.
You know, I have to charge her $100 to do that groom. I mean, a regular wire fox carrier clippered groom is 65.
Sure.
And I explained to her that, you know, she knows it's time consuming and this is why most groomers don't do it. I said, the one key element is to charge sufficiently. And I can't do any less. She said, well, how much if I come in every 3 weeks? And I said, I can't go under 100 because we're going to bay that dog. Now I don't bay every Border Terrier, Norwich and et cetera, little brown cairn. They don't always need a bath. And I can kind of save a little money in there by doing a dry clean job. But the wire fox terrier with all that white on them, they have to be bathed. She said, I'll book for 6 weeks and don't be surprised if I call you in four, you know. That was that. But it was so much fun working on a coat that was that well maintained. And because then I got into detailing that what I want to do is, you know, when you see wire fox terriers in the show ring, their color blocks almost look like they're painted on the definition between one color and another. It's just pencil sharp. Well, that doesn't happen just by regular growth. You have to tweak that.
Oh.
You have to tweak that to be that kind of almost drawn on looking line. Well, I got into trying to play with that to see how I could do that. And detailing in the head, I got to do that. That was a learning experience because I've never worked on a breeder's sculpted head. So I've always worked on by my pictures and I knew I was really close, but I just got right on it this time with that. Her eyebrows are right and everything.
So there's nothing like having that example right in front of you.
Right in front of
just
you.
Just right there.
You know, and that's why I don't understand sometimes when people travel and they take my grooming elsewhere, that the groomer doesn't try to do what I did.
Yeah.
Why can't you look at the dog and say and see, that looks pretty good. Let me see what she did. Oh, these legs look a little longer than this body. Oh. You know,
well, probably what they're doing is they're fluffing the dog out and looking at your beautiful groom and going, oh, look at how beautifully sculpted this is and how tight the chest is and how nice the butt is. And then they cut it all off. But maybe they are learning from you anyway.
I don't know. It's not coming back that way.
See,
but I think working behind another good groomer is a good way to learn.
I mean, I do too.
It just filters in real fast. There's no barriers to that. So so I had a good week.
Very nice. Yeah. We also at the Groom Pod had a good week because we have our sponsors from show season renewing for the next year. So I think that's very kind. It's wonderful to have that kind of support. Also, we have a new Patreon subscriber, and that is Kate Doherty. Thank you very much, Kate, for being such a fantastic person. We appreciate it so very much.
Amen. I can say that clearly. Yeah. Amen to that. Thank you.
Let's take a moment and hear from another fantastic sponsor, and that is Best Shot Pet Products. And then we're going to be back with a little chat about, well, surviving a bad boss. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15 to 1 for deep cleaning, 50 to 1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot Special Coat Releasing Technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Bad bosses are a thing that I think everyone who's worked more than one job has probably run into at one time or another. And I did some research to categorize different types of bosses. You know, there's types of people. We're going to have types of bosses. So I thought we could talk about these types of bosses and how they apply in the grooming shop. Does that sound like a good idea?
Sure. Let's hear okay. what you got.
Well, I think the easiest boss to identify is the bully. The bully boss. And that boss is very heavy-handed with yelling and berating and shaming and lots of stuff like that. I had a boss that was like that at a pizza place once, and it makes for a very uncomfortable workplace.
Yeah, I heard about one fairly large grooming operation here in Tucson that used to have, I don't know if he's still around, a boss like that with a cigar in his mouth and all day long.
How stereotypical.
Yeah, berating groomers and shame never works. All it does is shut people down, create animosity, and just ferment a situation that's going to blow a fuse behind your back.
I'm not overly fan of bosses that yell. Sometimes yelling is important, especially if there's a safety issue, but use it, save it for safety issues because
right.
really,
save it for emergencies.
Yeah. You should be able to talk respectfully to your employees, even if you have a disagreement or you're trying to correct a behavior in one of your employees that you don't want happening in your shop. You should do it with positive language, and you definitely don't want to yell at people. In a grooming shop especially, because the animals pick up on that energy.
When
the bully boss comes in, you'll see the normally cowering Yorkies shrink into the very back corner and turn their back to the door because they even feel it. How about the invisible boss? That boss is never anywhere you can find them when you need them. Oh my God, you have no change and you can't leave the shop. That's the boss's job to get change for your change drawer, and you can't get it because the boss is nowhere to be found. It's better these days with cell phones.
Cell phones.
Yeah, cell phones have made it a little bit better, but boy, the invisible boss that you can't find, and on top of that, doesn't really care. Because otherwise, they'd probably be able to be found. Have you ever had a boss like that?
Well, I had some of that with the man who taught me how to groom. Because he would get there early in the morning. He would take the dogs in. He would prep his dog. We were still prepping before the bath. All the clipper work and all the brush out went on before the bath. He would prep his dogs, shovel them in the other room, and make sure everything was up and going. And then he would take off in his Corvette with his long hair flowing behind him to the park to hook up. He was just coming out of the closet and he was going strong. He was liberated and he was happy and he was attractive and he had his Corvette and it was happening, man. And And then he'd come back at, you know, like 5 till 4, critique my groom, where I couldn't have asked him anything all day long, like, should I this, should I that, just go over the whole goddamn thing like I was a total failure, and finish his dogs, and we were done for the day. He did that a lot.
I think in the grooming shop, this shows itself in two different ways. First, the invisible boss is the one that has horrible burnout, and they don't want to be a groomer anymore. And so they're kind of there hiring to make sure that they've got somebody who will actually run the shop, and then they can go do something else because they're just tired of grooming. And the other one is the guy who came out of business school and decided that a pet business is going to be the way they're going to go. And then they hire some groomers and they study and get a business plan and they write up all of this stuff, and yet they really don't understand grooming. And so then being in an environment with pooping dogs and noise and barking and all of that involved isn't their thing. They just kind of thought it was. And so they become an invisible boss and they don't have the grooming instinct. They just wanted to have the play with dogs part of it. And it turns out that, in case you guys don't know, that's not all we do. Oh, and then there's on the opposite end, the micromanager. The perfectionist groomer who has their idea, their concept of every bit of the grooming process must be done their way. And they're going to stand over the top of you, the heck with their dogs, and watch what you do and correct every single movement and breath and scissor snip and toenail clip. Oh, that would drive me absolutely batty.
Well, of course, especially when you consider yourself quite capable. It occurred to me that that another downside of the invisible boss, and this goes for the boss that's not a groomer, is that they just don't have a commitment to the evolution of the industry. They just want to go, what's the best? And I think it's this, and we'll do this forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, they're not interested at all in molding and moving forward because they're basically checked out of the actual process. The micromanager does that too, because they're set in there. You know, I almost fired the first person that suggested that we bathe the dogs before we clip them.
Yeah. What a revolutionary idea that was when it started, though.
Boy, I'm telling you, I was so adamant. I was so self-righteous. I learned from the best, Susie, and this is what I learned. And this is fundamental. You do that clipper work and you brush that coat up before the water hits it. No, I had to wait until I was alone. I wonder how that happened. I had to wait till I was alone and overbooked. And then I had a shampoo that actually on the bottle recommended that you bathe first, a fluff out shampoo or something. And I discovered quite on my own that, well, what the heck? This works well. This is good. Look at how much time I saved. Yippee. So
those kind of bosses, they won't buy new equipment.
Yeah, they won't buy new equipment because this is it.
Yep.
They don't see the future.
It's very, very true. To be a good groomer, as you all are listening to this, it shows that you have this interest. You've got to keep learning. You have to always search out new information, be willing to try new products and look for that new equipment that's at the trade shows. That's how you get better. That's how you get to charge more, is by raising your own personal bar, just like talking about the goals last week. How about the over-promoted groomer? The groomer who ends up managing a shop, but they don't really want to manage a shop. They don't want to be a manager. You know, they call it the Peter principle. Everybody will be promoted to one job beyond their ability. That happens here too. Some people are really fantastic groomers, but absolutely horrendous shop managers. Can't manage the people, can't manage the shop flow, can't manage the equipment. And that is really a difficult place to be put in. My manager at the vet hospital, the owner of the vet hospital, that vet that I work for, he's my buddy. He is a really bad, bad, bad manager. He is such an instinctual, out of the box, brilliant vet. but he is a really crappy manager. And it took him a while to figure that out and finally get somebody in who could do the management portion of the job, because he hated it so much that he became the invisible boss, even though he was in the room. He's like, well, you better ask somebody. I don't know who you're going to ask, but you better find somebody to answer that one, because I don't know the answer. So that is an equally challenging situation to be in. Sometimes you just have to take the reins. One more.
Here, but not here, boss.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yep.
Is it another one?
Yeah, there's one more. And that one we do occasionally run into, sadly, in the industry, and that's the credit stealer. The one who doesn't give acknowledgement to the groomer in the back who did the fantastic scissoring job, but goes up and takes the money and acts as if they've done the work. Of course,
they get all the tips. And, you know, like,
That's it.
And that can be the boss, too.
Yeah.
That boss, I knew somebody who did that. He had three groomers in the back, but he checked in and out every dog, and so he just got credit for everything. Scissored grooms, which he didn't do really, and then the groomers had no idea of whether they were being tipped or not.
Yeah, that's the big issue. That's the control part of that little scenario, right? The credit stealing boss is that they often will take control of the tips and distribute them as they wish, which, you know, is always going to lead to them having more tips than their groomers do. And
well, you know, I will admit that I didn't always share the tips. And part of that is because I've been through times with my shop where I wasn't charging enough for me to make any money. So the only money I was taking home was the tips. It never blew up on me, but I gradually started sharing, and I am now pretty good at sharing the tips, although I will admit the tips that come through the square stay in the bank.
Yeah, but you're in a little bit different situation.
But I'm in a little different situation, and I'm working one-on-one with someone that we really have bigger than boss-employee relationship.
It's hard to explain over the internet, but you do have a different situation there. So, but the deal is, if you do your math right, you should be able to let the tips go to the people who are doing the tip work.
That's right. Yeah, that's just it. And if you have bathers back there, you should work it out.
Yes.
You know, like,
make it equitable. Everybody happy.
Because when you get a really good tip, that's a great boost of morale.
It's very uplifting.
Yeah, it's uplifting in the room. It's uplifting when they're home thinking about their job. It's just nice.
Maybe next week we'll talk about ways that bosses can reward their employees, like sharing the tips or little parties or stuff like that. That's just a thought, just throwing that out so that when I do the editing that I remember it for next week. Anyway, so how do you cope when you're in one of these situations where you need to make a living? You're in a location where there aren't a lot of options of places to work. So you've got to kind of bear down and just deal with it. What can you do to not lose your mind in a situation with a bad boss? While I was researching this, I also came across with some research in this department, and they suggest ways to cope with the situation. One of them is keeping a notebook, or a photographic, in our case, notebook of your work, so that you've documented what you've done. If there's a nick or an incident, you document that stuff. If there's something you need to write down about an argument, you write it down in your own personal diary so that you have that. Maybe you'll never use it, but maybe it'll make you feel better the day you have to walk out the door, because there will be a day where you have to walk out the door. So document your stuff so that you can take that or leave it behind if you need to for your next shop, but so that you've got it in case there ever is any type of issue. So I think that's a great idea. What do you think of that one?
It's always good to keep a journal. It's good to keep a journal of what products you use, and especially if you have product failures, it's good to keep a journal of that.
So if you've got this little notebook supporting your work, you might as well also have some little client cards too. So you've written down what you've done, like Barbara was saying, so that you've got more, even more product support and stuff.
I think also if you've got the invisible boss or the boss that's not, if you're not getting what you need in the way of support from your boss, I think part of the responsibility is on you to communicate that. I'm sorry, but you know, like silence is an approval.
That's point number two. That's number two. You are so intuitive, Barbara, with this whole psychology thing. Communicate. Take responsibility for that communication. If it's not the boss, it's going to be you. And don't expect your coworkers to do it for you. You need to do it. You need to look out for yourself in this situation. And keeping the even somewhat closed communication doors at least broken open. Open so you can stick your foot in there is so very important in these awkward situations.
So, you know, another thing that bosses are responsible for is the interaction of employees. So if they're not managing, it allows for a bully employee to get in there and cause mischief and that kind of stuff. It's really important that you let your boss know what you need and that the office crap get to you.
And one more really important thing, really, really important. Be ready to stand your ground, but also be ready to leave because some things are just not worth tolerating.
You know, there are times when it's necessary to do a self-assessment. What am I doing to contribute to this condition, this situation that's not working? What's on me? And, you know, this is one of the hardest things to do in life, but one of the most important is you got to look at yourself. You've got to be willing to be objective in your observation of how you affect others.
I belong to this little group. We won't mention who they are, but within that group, you're supposed to take a healthy inventory of yourself and assess it, and how you're interacting with this situation is a big part of that personal inventory. So you'll look at how you're reacting to the situation, how you're contributing to it. Sometimes the best thing is to remove yourself. Other times, you know, you'd fight to stay there because you don't have a better choice. But know that there's always another option. And sometimes it means doing a different job just for a little while. But life hands you all kinds of lemons. You got to make the lemonade. Well, I hope that helped. I can't remember who it was that asked about the difficult bosses, but there you go. Another quick break, Barbara, and then we're going to be back to school where we're going to learn about Chittasan. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now. But mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Barbara, what is chitosan?
Okay, so chitosan is a water-soluble product that's made from crustacean ocean shellfish crusts, from the shells, okay, of crustaceans in the ocean. So there's practically an unlimited supply. So right there, it's kind of a sustainable source, right?
Friendly crustaceans under the sea.
They're dead, and then they become chitosan. It is a natural sourced ingredient for real. And the chitosan itself is a water-soluble product that's added that serves as a film former. It's a film former, and it kind of coats the skin and the hair, and it serves as a humectant. So it holds moisture to the skin and the hair, and it's also used as a delayed release mechanism.
Okay.
So where I first ran into chitosan is in the Episoothe shampoo in its original version. It relied on chitosan to do the delayed release of the medicated ingredient, which in this case I think was oatmeal, but whatever. And it's used for that quite a bit. Nowadays, there's a little bit less natural micro encapsulation technology that gets used. But this is one of the original and still worthy ways of having something stay on the skin for a longer period of time. So where this is important, what tickled my interest this time around on chitosan was Scout's Honor.
Oh,
we were asked about Scout's Honor. And if you'll remember, as I do, Susie, that we discussed this a year or so ago, and I gave it a high bullshit rating.
Yeah, I do remember. I'm beginning to realize, as I asked for topics, that with 208 plus hours of shows out there, we've talked about a lot of things. A lot of things.
And as most bloggers do, it's not a shame to talk about something again and again and however long it takes. But what happened was that this time that Scout's Honor came up with a Scout's Honor, for those who don't know it, their main handle, their main brand identity, they use probiotics in dog skincare products it's almost like a medicated product to promote healthy skin and to discourage bad bacteria. Okay?
This is one of those things that mirrors the human side of cosmetology, right?
Very much mirror. Yeah. And as I said before, I'm sure the skin microbiology is a huge area of interest right now. The microbiome. Skin microbiome, which is the community of stuff that makes up the little woo-woo part of on the skin, including the friendly bacteria, yeast, and all those things that just exist there and sometimes overpopulate and cause problems and sometimes don't exist unless there's a problem and like that. So the microbiome is the skin community of stuff. You know, we used to just hear, yeah, but see, the language changes and then you think it's something like totally new. Didn't we used to talk about the acid mantle?
Yes.
We used to talk about the acid mantle. Well, the skin microbiome is the acid mantle.
Oh, get out of town. I didn't get that.
I just hooked it up myself just now.
Okay.
You see that my brain does actually work while I'm recording the groom pod.
That's impressive.
Because sometimes it seems like I leave my brain in the other room. I put the dog up and maybe the brain goes in the cage too.
Right.
I get back to talking with Susie and I spend all morning deep in this stuff. And then I go, what's that? Okay. So, yeah. So I decided I would take another look at Scott's Honor before I just summarily kind of dismissed it as kind of over-the-top marketing. They have a serious commitment, Susie, and I want to acknowledge that. They really believe, as do some, it's a huge trend, probiotic topicals.
Okay.
Right? But now I have some issues about the efficacy or effectiveness that we should expect from a shampoo.
All right.
Because let's be clear, a shampoo is a brief contact rinse off product. That's the main features of it.
It's supposed to clean.
Yeah. And it's supposed to clean, and it has surfactants that are like pretty, they're hungry polywogs all in there. And lots of them. It also has preservatives. So indeed, one of the challenges of formulating probiotic topicals is that the preservatives that are necessary can sometimes kill off the probiotic. They didn't say kill off. They said, you know, interfere with the functioning. Yeah, but I know what's happening.
Yeah.
The preservatives, they're powerful.
Yeah.
They're powerful. They kill bacteria.
That's their job.
They don't know that it's friendly bacteria. Do the friendly bacteria wear a different color scarf? I don't think so. It's not going to do you any good. You know? But I was encouraged to see the chitosan, because that told me that at least they've got a formula that someone has addressed the brief contact issue. How much can you expect by slapping some probiotic on and then rinsing it off? Well, the chitosan can be a delivery mechanism as well as a delayed release mechanism for the probiotic. I want to give them that. But I did find another little criticism, if I may.
Okay.
Because these people, the Scott's Honor people, are a kind of very righteous. You know, as are, you know, like, I'm sorry, but natural alternative medicine people tend to be a little bit self-possessed and self-righteous and holier than thou-ish, you know, but they claim that their shampoo is totally naturally derived. Well, it includes an ingredient called isoicosane. Oh. Doesn't it sound like a little Mardi Gras tune?
A little bit, yes.
Iso, 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 Well, yeah, Mardi Gras is kind of island. It's got a little backbeat. Okay, so here's the thing. Isoicosane is, ready for this definition?
I'm sitting down.
A non-volatile hydrocarbon emollient consisting of a mixture of highly branched C20 isoparaffin hydrocarbons. Does that sound natural to you?
Not at all.
And it's synthetically derived. You're not going to find a mixture of highly branched C20 isoparaffin hydrocarbons just like floating around in some kind of a shellfish or something, you know. So it kind of contrasts with their marketing identity. What it does, because I'm sure you're just dying to know as you look over your shoulder reading something else.
I'm reading their marketing material.
Oh, you're reading Scott's Honor. Okay. Yeah. So isoicosane is used as a skin conditioner. It leaves a soft, silky feeling and or a solvent. It's kind of a synthetic emollient, a non-volatile hydrocarbon emollient, right?
Yeah.
So an emollient is a skin softener. Okay, so good. So that's part of what they're wanting to get healthy skin, or at least, you know, if it feels healthy on your hands, you're going to go for it. So just saying, I'm willing to continue to look at the Scout's Honor products. And I do recognize that topical probiotics are a thing. There are studies. And it's true that dogs with skin problems, their community has been invaded by strangers.
Yeah, the biology is out of whack.
But here's something I ran into that, I got to share this. Susie, how does the probiotic work? Like, how does it work?
Yeah.
Well, it lowers the pH.
Oh, my. I know other things that do that.
So don't I show Season's results?
Rinse. Yep.
You know, so haven't I been touting the benefit of acidifying the skin, and that dogs with a lot of yeast and seborrheic have out of balance, overly alkaline skin?
This is all really interesting in that it's not exactly what they're claiming it does, right? They're claiming they're depositing good bacteria on the skin, but in effect, they're just making it more difficult for the bad bacteria to exist.
Yeah, it's just another way to make it undesirable for bad bacteria to exist, or impossible for bad bacteria to exist. And this is the pH, lowering the pH is a powerful step in doing that. And you can do that in many ways. And this is a kind of a natural approach.
And Martha Stewart would say, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. So we're going to continue to look at some of the Scout's Honor. If you want me to, I know I'll hear from y'all. So,
So Barbara, what's new over at Show Season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because Show Season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypoconditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about Show Season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are. And they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to. And if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it. Their sugar cookie cologne was so popular that they finally made it in the shampoo.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful and they're trying to keep their local sources. And yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account. You can do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. All right, Barbara, one more little old break. No, that was our little old break. What am I talking about? Wah, wah.
Okay.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Time for our At the Table segment now, Barbara, which was another question by Deborah, who asked about water temperature and its effects. So let's start with the effect of water temperature as related to shampoos and conditioners.
Okay, well, I didn't prepare for this, but I do have an educated position.
That's why we give you the big bucks, Barbara.
You know, Susie, water temperature makes more of a difference than we may think. It especially makes a difference in cleaning.
Really?
So, yeah.
Is that why they tell you that if you're going to wash your bedding, that you should wash it in really hot water?
Well, not just for the cleaning, but the hot water also helps to dispose of contaminants.
Sure.
And that's really hot water, and you don't want to do that on dogs.
No!
However, here's the deal. Every surfactant has a critical temperature level below which it doesn't form micelles very well. Okay?
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So that's interesting. So I'm going to throw that out there. It's called critical micelle temperature or something like that. Critical micelle something or other. You know, we'll talk some more about micelles because they're a very interesting feature. Just think of them as groups of polywogs. See, a single shampoo surfactant is like a single molecule. Temperature isn't going to change too much whether or not that molecule adheres to the sebum. The warmer temperature will, however, soften oils and oily soils, which is another reason to have a warm temperature shampoo. But mostly, if it's too tepid, too cool, those individual soldiers or polywogs, I vary in what I call them, they don't get together and form groups to make micelles well, which is an important aspect of cleaning.
Like so, colonize, like they don't colonize.
Yeah, well, they aggregate. Aggregate is the term. They don't aggregate. They don't want to have a whole lot to do with each other. But, you know, like when the temperature is just like right in their range, they group up and they just do, you know, they make this spherical thing that's a conglomerate of aggregated surfactant cells around the soil and dirt, and then it gets rinsed off. Now, for finishing, you want the water temperature to be cool.
So this is after the products have all done their thing.
Yeah, after you're rinsing off the last of the shampoo or the last of the conditioner, you want it to be on the cooler side, which will close the skin pores, close the hair cuticles, just help everything tighten up and get ready to get dried. So it's a good thing. So we say clean and warm, rinse and cool.
Right, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Works for your laundry and it works for your dog.
That is why they have specially formulated laundry detergent for washing in cold water, because those surfactants must be happier in cold water.
They're slightly differently formulated. Yeah, you know what I discovered? The pods. You know, I wanted to try the Tide pods because they were the whole thing. Well, I washed my towels in cold water. And you know what? The pods wouldn't dissolve.
Oh, wow. Really?
I would find partial pods.
Wow. You try the Costco one, because my Costco one dissolves in cold water.
I have never been to Costco. Well, no, I haven't been to Costco ever since I bought the 50 gallons of mayonnaise. And
no need to ever go back.
So, potato salad for life. Okay, so.
So we got one last thing to do, Barbara. It's time for shout outs. Do you have a shout out this week? I have a shout out.
What's your shout out?
My shout out is that the cool people from the Glacial Rain Shampoo Company, I cannot remember the name of their company, but they make that Glacial Rain Shampoo that you like so much. They reached out to contact me and ask if they could use our Groom Pod 148 show on their marketing and advertising. And I was like, absolutely. We would love to be on your labels and your advertising and all of that. So they're going to put a little blurb in that says as featured on episode 148 of the Groom Pod. And I just thought that was cool. And then during the course of the conversation, because this is really the coolest part, they're going to send me shampoo samples.
I'm so glad to hear that. You know, I wanted to contact them and ask them to send you shampoo bottles. I am particularly impressed and still using their sugar soap. And so their sugar soap is not exactly a sulfate free, but it's a very low sulfate. So they use a glucoside or a succinate as their primary surfactant. And then about two or three ingredients later, you'll see a little bit of sodium lauryl, ETH,
yep,
SLES in there. So this has always worked as an excellent hypo shampoo for a dog that's dirty.
So are you shouting out them too?
So I'm shouting out, I think it's called Adamira and Glacial Rain and their sugar soap. And I haven't used a lot of their other products, but I really like their Glacial Rain and their sugar soap.
I'm anticipating the falling in love with the smell. I remember you talking about the smell, and I know it's right up my alley.
Yeah, I think you're going to like it. It's fresh and definitely there. I think the Glacial Rain shampoo is a terrific general, one size fits most kind of shampoo.
Well, I just heard a knock at the door, and I believe that the Board of Health is here, and they would require me to take a shower sometime today.
Oh,
so I
bummer.
Think I'm going to go ahead and do that. I've been too busy. I haven't had time. What can I say? So what are you going to do today? Anything exciting and fun?
I'm looking forward to a really deep Sunday nap.
Oh, okay. Well, you nap. I'm going to go ahead and get cleaned up. And who knows, the world is my oyster as usual. And you guys out here, thanks for being here with us. We so appreciate you. Remember to support us by clicking through the Amazon banner at the website, leaving a donation for us at the donation button on our website, or subscribing to Patreon, where you can tip your grooming educators. All right. Bye, everybody. Happy grooming. See you next week.
Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.